the best dad ever.
I saw that.
Which I love. I have a best dad ever cup at home as well.
Amazing.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yay. Well, welcome everybody. It is episode 2 of the Dress Down podcast. And today we have a very special guest, Clarice.
Hi.
Cosplayer. Actor?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Musical theater?
Lots of things. Nowadays, but yeah.
Uh-huh. Yay. Well, is Clarice how to pronounce your name? I want to start with that because I've heard Clarice, I've heard Clarice, and I want to set the record straight.
So, I definitely intended it for it to be Clarice because my original at was Clarice Dracaris. And I was like, oh, I want it to kind of, you know, like rhyme or whatever. And then I dropped the Dracaris part because I was like, I don't know if HBO might get upset about that.
Hello?
Yeah. I'm like, please don't call me. So it's like, okay, Clarice Polaris. I was like, Polaris, like, first of all, is a Marvel character, is the North Star, and I'm Canadian. Like, there were a couple reasons. I was like, oh, this works. But yeah, it's Clarice, but people also pronounce it Clarice, doesn't matter. The Clarice thing happened because my husband thought it would be funny. He's like, we'll be nerdy and Clarice. And I'm like, okay. And so now when I'm at conventions, sometimes I will just hear Clarice. And I'm like, all right, like they watch Book Club. That is what they've heard on our YouTube channel. So yeah. Any or all, take your pick. Okay. I'm not picky.
Good. Okay. Glad we could figure that out.
Yeah.
So you do a book club with your husband. You have a lot of YouTube channels. I was scrolling. Can you explain the book club and the Candlelight Obscura and
the reactions? Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I do a lot of things, probably too many things, like arguably too many things, but I have like my channels, which I have Clarice Polaris, which is gaming stuff on YouTube. Then I have Clarice's Closet, which is like fashion hauls, that kind of thing. Then my husband and I have Nerdy Nightly, which is kind of where it all started. It's mostly reactions right now, and the Nerdy Wordy Book Club is live streamed over there. We're currently covering, where are we? Oh my God. We are currently in Mistborn Era 2. So if you're a Brandon Sanderson fan.
I love Brandon Sanderson.
Mistborn Era 1 was like still one of my favorite trilogies ever. So we did like Mistborn Era 1 into a couple different things. We've read Emperor's Soul, which I think might be my favorite of his. We read Warbreaker. We read, oh my God, there's another one that we read, Elantris. And then we read the first three Stormlight archive books as well. So I've read Oathbringer. Wow. Yeah. So we just finished Oathbringer. It is a lot. It is a lot. And we've jumped from Oathbringer back to Mistborn Era 2 because, I don't know, our community and our mods decide. I have truly no say, no idea. They will split the book for us. They will tell us what chapters we're reacting to, like all that jazz. And then we also, on top of that, have the roleplay relay, which is TTRPGs like Candela Obscura, Daggerheart, Dungeons and Dragons. And also we're going to be doing some more board game type stuff on there as well. So, yeah, just a couple of things.
What is your favorite Brandon Sanderson book so far, would you say?
Oh, boy. Okay, Emperor's Soul is my favorite thing, but it's just short novella. So if you count Emperor's Soul, then I would say that for sure. But honestly, The Hero of Ages. Yeah, I just, Mistborn Era 1 was so special, and I'm huge, like, high fantasy girl. And I don't cry in books that often, but I, like, that wrecked me.
It got me, too. It got me, too.
No spoilers, but, like, yeah, I was like, I am not okay. I need to like just take the day off and curl up in a ball and eat some chocolate.
Yeah, it affected me for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's such a good book. Yeah. I just started the Stormlight Archives adventure because those books are massive.
Giant.
Huge. Giant. And I'm on three.
Oh, Springer. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. So we're actually like about the same place then. What other stuff of his have you read?
I listen to, because I do audiobooks.
Mm-hmm. Love. I mean, Michael Kramer, they're great.
He's so good.
Yeah.
And I can listen to it on 1.25 speed because I need that.
Otherwise, I'm at least I won't 1.5 pay attention. Girly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's the ADHD,
I swear. Yes. It helps me pay more attention when I'm doing other things. Mm-hmm. But I watched or I listened to The Nightmare Painter.
Oh, I haven't read that one.
Really liked that one.
Cool. Okay.
That's probably my favorite individual. Mm-hmm. And then I love Mistborn so much. And I know that he talks about it like it's an intro to the rest of his books. And he did it a long time ago, so his writing improved since then. And I'm like, don't shit on Mistborn.
No.
Mistborn, it's so good.
Great.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love Mistborn.
I think maybe like the... I think, which, oh my gosh, The Well of Ascension, I think, is book two.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, there was some stuff about that maybe wasn't my favorite, but I still am like, no, that book's still, like, an 8 out of 10, like, 8.5 out of 10, for sure, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, big fan. I love his stuff, for sure.
Exciting.
We're hoping to go to Dragonsteel, which is his convention.
I didn't know he had a convention.
He has a convention. So that's, like... the first weekend of December.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like hoping to go. I'm pretty sure it's in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I'm almost positive. 99% sure. Yeah. So maybe
I'll join you.
Yeah. That would be great.
I'm coming. did you hear about how he bullied Audible into paying people more money?
Yes.
I love that story.
I do. You know what? And that's why... you know, people are like, don't meet your heroes and that kind of stuff. But I'm like, nah, there's got to be good people out there.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's things like that where because he's Brandon Sanderson, he has this name, he has this influence. People will listen to him and he has a like rabid audience.
Yeah.
Right. Like his fans. Oh, my God. They are like so gung ho for him and his stuff. So him like using his name and that to be able to help smaller indie authors in that way, I thought was really awesome. I have all the respect for him.
You talked about the book club and your D&D YouTube channel.
Yes.
And I noticed that you do a lot of D&D stuff. That's actually how we met.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah, and it was so much fun. And so what got you started into D&D content?
Ooh.
What drew you to it? Is it the theater in you?
I mean, yeah. So before I started doing content creation, I did musical theater. Mm-hmm. And I still do some like film and TV acting. I actually was just on the latest season of Shoresy, which was really cool. I was like, I'm in a couple of episodes, but I'm in like background stuff. And the first episode where you could kind of see me in the back, like I'm so blurry, I'm so out of focus. Mm-hmm. And someone was like, were you on Shoresy? I think I saw your hair.
Oh, yes, the brand. We were just talking about branding.
I was like, wait, how do you know that? I had to go looking for what they were looking for. It's literally one shot where I'm in the background. I'm in my like armor bikini and red hair because it's like a party scene. Mm-hmm. And someone recognized me from that. And I was like, damn.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We were just talking before we started about how you wear your hair a lot instead of wigs, and even if it's not necessarily completely accurate to the character, you would rather wear your hair. And I was saying you should, because if you brand yourself in content creation, people remember you, and that's proof.
It is 100%. Like people recognize me from like, you cannot see my face at all. I've looked. That was very impressive. But I definitely love performing. I love entertaining. That's always been part of my life. And I got into Dungeons and Dragons because I was doing Mary Poppins, the musical. And there was a bunch of us in the cast that were like, oh, Dungeons and Dragons sounds really fun. I've always wanted to try it. Let's get together and figure this out. And so there were 10 of us, and only two of us had ever played before. And it was a lot. Mm-hmm. It was a lot. It was a dungeon master and 9 players.
That's crazy.
Insane. Wow. That didn't last very long.
Yeah.
It was not everybody's cup of tea, right?
Right.
So it kind of dwindled down to like 6 players.
Mm-hmm.
A bit more manageable, still a lot.
Still hard to get that many people's schedules to line up.
Well, here was the best part about it.
Okay.
What we would do is we would have 2 shows on Sunday. So we'd have like a, I think it was like a 12, like noon, and a 4:30 or whatever it was. And Mary Poppins is a long show. So we would do 6 hours of theater, like performing all day. And then we were all at the theater. We would all go together to someone's house to play until like 2 a.m.
To perform even longer. More.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes. And I am... I was guilty of being like a little toxic. Like there was like a time where one of the guy who DM'd, mm-hmm. he was the only one who wasn't in the cast with us. Mm. And he was like, I don't know, I'm kind of not like feeling well today. And I was like, we're coming over. I don't care. Like I straight up told him, I was like, get your shit together.
You
like,
are not canceling D&D on us.
No, like I straight up would not allow people to cancel.
That's
and
so funny.
Most of them were at the theater, so I dragged them.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Like I was a little bit obsessed. A little bit. And I had so much fun. It was, you know, it was all in good fun. I don't recommend doing that per se. But when COVID shut everything down, theater died, right? There was nothing happening.
Right.
And so I started doing content. It's like, I've always wanted to do cosplay stuff. I always wanted to embrace my nerdier side because not a lot of musical theater people were into the same things that I was. Like, I found a couple, right, who like D&D and like Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
But I started doing more of the nerdier stuff. And the TTRPG side of the content is only really 1.5 years old. We actually hard launched Roleplay Relay, which is the TTRPG brand, with the most insane thing we could have come up with, which was 173 hours straight of Dungeons and Dragons in Holly Wolf's house that she let us borrow. We flew up our friends. We like invested money into this, and we took a whole week where we were live the entire time. We had 2 teams of people. So it'd be 12 hours on, 12 hours off, where you would like switch. And you had a partner who was like, who played your same character while you were asleep. So you'd have to come back. And the shifts were crazy. It was 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. and 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. So it was on the 5 a.m. start shift. So I'd be up 4 a.m, be like, gotta get ready. 5 a.m., my partner who's playing the same character that I was, Fanta, she's like, all right, so this is what happened in the last 12 hours. And it was just a week straight of like this insane D&D campaign, which like 173 hours is basically half of a Critical Role campaign,
right?
that we did in a week.
That's so wild.
Where we fed and housed everybody.
Wow.
Like it was like we were like, we're going to do this. We're going to hard commit, like hard launch. It was so much fun. Like truly one of the most stressful, but also one of the best weeks of my life ever.
Right.
I was like, I get to play D&D for a week. This is incredible.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we launched with that, with something crazy. We've done 2 different charity events so far,
mm-hmm.
where we did one that was like an all-day event last November. And the concept of it was everyone brought like 3 different characters that were all like low level. I think we did level, I don't even know, like 5, somewhere around level 5. And we had to fight Santa Claus to save Christmas because Santa Claus had gone evil or whatever. But Santa Claus was like a like high, high level villain. So you would come sit down at the table. You'd play maybe 1 or 2 rounds. You'd die. You'd leave. Someone else would come take your place. And so it was like a relay, like that sense.
Okay.
Where you wouldn't really get to do much, but uh-huh. you'd be in and out with different characters. So
Santa Claus just murdering.
Yeah. No, like blood and carnage. You can go watch the whole video.
Nobody was good this year.
No.
Everyone's getting taken out.
Just like blood and gore and like absolute like carnage. And some people brought in some really like funny characters. Like one of my characters was Kevin McAllister from Home Alone. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a rogue.
Okay.
And I tried to like set traps.
Set traps. Yeah, yeah.
It didn't work because I tried to go invisible and then he straight up killed me. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, Santa Claus can see you when you're sleeping and he knows when you're awake. Oh, he can literally see you at all times. And I was like, right. You know what? Fair.
You can't actually sneak from Santa.
Can't sneak up on Santa Claus.
Right.
Yeah. And then, so that was our like first big charity event. And then we just did one this past Christmas where we raised $17,000 for Doctors Without Borders.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was so cool. We got a bunch of people together to kind of play around with the Vecna Eve of Ruin module. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was like different teams. And then the finale was one person from each team coming together to defeat Vecna. It was so much fun. And I think I'm allowed to talk about this because, they've announced it. But we are going to be working with Critical Role and Darrington Press.
Wow,
in
so exciting.
March.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. We're going to be doing another charity event where they really liked what we did with the Heroes Without Borders thing. Mm-hmm. They want to do it again for fire relief here in LA. So we're going to be helping them raise money by playing some Dagger Heart, which is their new game. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, it is. It's like, it's a really big deal. Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie. That's a lot of people that I really look up to. So I'm excited to get that ball rolling. I'm not gonna say much more because I don't really know what I can and cannot say mm-hmm. yet. But they did announce it. There's a video of Matt Mercer saying we're working with the role play relay. And so that's all the confirmation.
So cool.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, it is.
That's amazing. When is that?
So it's going to be sometime in March. Okay. Final dates will get announced soon. And we're actually going to be at their studio this Thursday.
No way!
With a live stream, which by the time this goes up, it's probably going to be in the past now.
Yeah.
But you can go watch that on the Darrington Press YouTube channel. Or actually, I'm not sure if we're going to co-stream it to the Roleplay Relay. I think this one will probably just be on their socials. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can go looking for that by the time this comes out. That'll be up and done and out in the universe.
That's so cool. Yeah. So they saw what you did, they liked it, mm-hmm. and then they brought you in to sort of replicate what
yeah,
you guys
something
did?
Similar mm-hmm. where we're gonna do teams that help raise money for charity and all come together for a finale is the concept.
So cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very
so
excited.
Exciting. I can't wait to see it.
Same. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so fun. Do you have any tips for people, specifically me, who get really nervous playing D&D? I get so stressed out mm-hmm. At the performance aspect of D&D that mm-hmm. I almost can't enjoy it half the time when I do it because I'm wondering if I'm doing everything right and just like really spiraling. So, and I assume other people are like that too. So
1,000%.
Do you have any ways to avoid D&D stress?
D&D stage fright.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I've been doing theater for a long time, so I understand the feeling 100%. And I still feel that way to a degree. Something that I've found helps is picking a shtick, like a thing where if all else fails, you can kind of fall back on it. Like a character trait that is really familiar and mm-hmm. that you can keep in your brain. Because mm-hmm. it's a lot to try and figure out and pre-plan how your character is going to react to a million different situations. Mm-hmm. Because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
And so I think picking a thing that is easy, clear, tangible. It can be a voice. Mm. It can be a specific kind of joke, a character trait. Mm-hmm. Like, I always step in front and shield my friends. Like, it can be as simple as that. And I think that really, like, breaking it down as simple as possible makes it the least daunting. Because mm-hmm. when you look at it big picture, it's a lot. and for me, I do get a little bit nervous. Because I want to make sure that I know all of my traits and features and stuff really well. Because I haven't had the chance to play everything. Like,
right.
You know, so some of it's new. But yeah, I also think you can absolutely base your character off of someone or something that you know.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's advice I've gotten before as well. Yeah.
I think that that one's a really clear one because it can be like a TV character. Mm-hmm. On Roleplay Relay, we just did a Dragonlance campaign where I kind of, when I started building my character, I based it off of a character from the show The Expanse. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know it. Mm-hmm. I base it kind of off of Amos.
Okay.
Where I was like, this character does not understand morality on their own and they need somebody else mm-hmm. to steer them in that direction.
Right.
And so picking a thing that was really clear, that was kind of based on a character that I knew really well because I just finished watching the show. Mm-hmm. Like, sticking with stuff that's familiar mm-hmm. is so much easier than being like, well, I'm going to make a character with a Russian accent. I don't mm-hmm. know how to do a Russian accent. Mm-hmm. And so now you've kind of like thrown yourself under the bus. Like,
yeah.
You know, set yourself up for success. And I think just have fun, which is the most cliche thing. I know. like I know I hear it.
It's that simple, but also
it's simple, but it's hard.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I had a friend, Eric, who I'm sure that you've met in mm-hmm. passing at least once or twice, do a voice for a one shot. And it was like a gravelly, like rough voice. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, he was still trying to keep it up. It was maybe like 6 to 8 hours, but he was struggling. And at the end, he lost his voice completely, couldn't talk, and then couldn't talk for days afterward.
Oh, no.
So the Russian accent made me remember it as a scary bit. Sometimes you can't lean into the bit. Sometimes the bit is bad for you.
And know your limits. Like, you know, if you are a trained voice actor and you know how to do that safely, then, you know, by all means.
Right.
But even still, mm-hmm. 6 to 8 hours is a lot.
Yeah.
Even for professionals. Like, that is a long session, mm-hmm. right? You have to imagine that even professionals are maximum doing a play that's maybe 3 hours. That's half the amount of time that you're doing it for. So, mm-hmm. no, definitely take care of yourself, because I've heard a lot of stories like that where it's like, well, I just picked a thing and I went with it and I could not keep it up for the entire game. Mm-hmm. It happens.
Right.
That's part of the fun. Sometimes you can bake that into the role playing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I cast a spell and my voice dropped. I don't know what happened. Like,
oh, no.
I hit puberty. Right. Yeah, crazy.
Out of nowhere. That's when, whenever I've played, because I know that I'm nervous and I want to be comfortable and I want to have fun, I mm-hmm. always do some sort of bit. So I'm glad that was your advice. I did the Karen character and was just asking to speak to everyone's manager the one time, and that was fun.
It's beautiful. See, and that's a great shtick, and because everyone gets it. They all know mm-hmm. what it is. And it just lets you have a thing that you're like, okay, I'm comfortable with this. I can just fall back on this one little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you transition from musical theater to cosplay? Was it because of COVID?
Pretty much. Yeah. When COVID hit, I was working on a cruise ship, which was rough.
What a place to get stuck.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll ever get on a cruise ship ever again. But I was supposed to be there working for 6 months. Like, it was supposed to be a 6-month contract, and we were only there for 6 weeks. And it was like March 20th, and they were like, hey, everyone's fired. kind of.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're going to pay leave. You're going to go home. We'll bring you back in like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. 3 weeks.
Like, yeah, okay, sure.
Becomes 3 months, becomes forever.
Exactly. So what happened was my husband and I were on the ship together. We were not married yet, but we had just started dating, and the ship shut down, and neither of us had apartments because we were planning on being there for months, right?
Right.
And so he was like, do you want to come live with my family for a bit? Because we were from the same hometown. So we mm-hmm. went to Calgary. We quarantined in his parents' master bedroom because it was the only one with a bathroom on it. Like, uh-huh. And so we basically kicked them out of their room for 2 weeks because we had to quarantine.
Oh, we didn't know. Because you were, yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
They would
leave
food at the door.
I see.
And we had to stay in that room for 2 weeks. And, you know, I think that that point is like a make or break. You know or you don't know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So after that, we're like, no, we're good. We're good.
Actually, we played relationships on hard mode and
literally,
we
sped run it.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It works out. Mm-hmm. But is one of those things where we were there for 2 weeks. We're like, all right, we're going to go back to the ship in like a month. It's going to be fine. And then, you know, a week or two goes by and it's like, well, that doesn't look like it's happening. Things were bad, right? We were going a little crazy. And we were like, okay, well, I had already been streaming on Twitch in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I had like put my computer in storage to go on the ship. And I was like, bye, community. Sorry, mm-hmm. love you guys. I'll be back when I'm back. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I have this computer that we can stream off of. Mm-hmm. And he had Nerdy Nightly, which was a podcast at the time, like just mm-hmm. straight, simple audio podcast where he would interview people in New York. Mm-hmm. So we kind of took the brand of Nerdy Nightly. And we started doing baking videos.
Amazing.
They're bad, but they're very funny. Of like nerdy baking stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when we started really leaning into the nerd brand of it, I was like, I've always wanted to do cosplay. Mm-hmm. I've never done it before. I have always loved Halloween. Mm-hmm. Like I think technically my first ever cosplay would have been in grade 12. I convinced my two friends to do the owls from Harry Potter. So one of us was Hedwig, one was Pigwidgeon, and one was Errol.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, we literally bought like $5 like tube top cotton dresses and glued feathers onto them. And like glued wings together and glued masks.
That's so creative. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it was fun. And I'm honestly like weirdly still so proud of it because I think that they looked great. Mm-hmm. And they held up pretty well. Mm-hmm. Like they held up through the night, which for glue and feathers.
Yeah.
Like, uh-huh. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So that was like my first ever cosplay. And I was like, I had so much fun making that. Like genuinely, this is a blast. So I kind of want to branch out and mm-hmm. try something new. I've always been a huge nerd. Like, what other fun stuff can I do? And, you know, I started off with really easy stuff. Like, one of my first ones was Sylveon, which was just like white skirt, white top. And then I made the ears out of a headband and some fur and felt, you know, like mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. The ribbons that Sylveon has, I literally like took a white ribbon and I tried like dyeing it myself to get the like gradient
uh-huh,
of it.
Uh-huh.
That didn't work out the best. I'd never dyed anything before in my life, but it was just those little things
right.
that I started trying. One of my first ones as well actually was the Polka Dot Man, because Suicide Squad.
Oh.
The Suicide Squad had just come out. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, they're too close in name and I can never remember. The better one. where I literally bought a white bodysuit from Fashion Nova.
Uh-huh.
Like, and I took cardstock polka dots, put them onto foam and sewed them
yes.
onto this thing.
Yes.
Made foam bracers.
Yes.
And I bought like a leather, like, flight, I don't even know. And that was like how I started, is I just started like gluing shit together.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was saying the other day, I remember when Amazon and everything wasn't so accessible, where you couldn't find foam in Michaels, and it was you'd have to go to like a hardware store and get the puzzle piece yoga mat floor mats and cut them up to make armor.
Yeah.
And now it's so much easier. Everything's so much easier to find and get to.
And it was pretty easy because I started in, you know, late 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm. So that stuff was all pretty accessible to me. I was able to, like, I followed a bunch of cosplayers that I really admired, and I would kind of like look and zoom in to see how they did stuff, like how I thought maybe they mm-hmm. did it. And it's still crazy to me. Like, part of me is still a little like starstruck that I'm friends with people like you and like Holly and like aww. Kimpatsu, like, and Stella, like, who are just incredible crafters that I would like zoom in on Instagram to be like, how are they doing these crazy things?
Aww,
yeah.
Thanks. That's nice.
No, I mean it. I mean, you guys are like, you guys put together such cool stuff and it's so inspiring. And like, I just also love that you're cool people.
Well, yeah, that's something that I found in the cosplay community is that everyone is like a weird nerd, right? In the best way. And now finding a community of weird nerds to be a weird nerd with is so exciting. And I don't know, it gives you a sense of community that a lot of us didn't have before.
Yeah. So I knew genuinely nobody in Toronto, because we were in Toronto and I had all my theater friends. And none of them were like doing anything online. Right. I literally met Holly because I messaged her on Instagram. It's like, hey, like, I'm really new to this. I'm just starting out. Like, if you wanted to like shoot sometime, let me know. Because I'd had like 5 years of modeling experience at that point. Mm-hmm. So the photos and stuff was more comfortable. Holly was like, yeah, stranger, come on over. I've got this studio booked this day, this time. I'll see you there. And I was like, okay.
Amazing.
I know.
What did you guys shoot?
We had this like maid succubus look.
Cute.
Yes. Uh-huh. Just little maid outfits. And she had these like gorgeous, I think they were like resin horns. Because they were like, you know, the resin dice that are clear, but they have stuff in them, like mm-hmm. the flakes and stuff. Oh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They were so cute. She's like, yeah, I have this to shoot. We shot some like casual, like kind of black lingerie, mm-hmm. like, you know, very simple because it was a bit last minute. Mm-hmm. But that was how it started.
Which is amazing. That's how I feel like that's how a lot of cosplayers are. They're like, oh, you want to do it? Like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least the majority of the community, I would say, is very welcoming and very
nice. Absolutely.
To piggyback on the D&D stuff, mm-hmm. If you had to give yourself an alignment, what would you give yourself?
Oh, my.
Honestly.
Like, yeah. Like, honestly. That one is such a tough question because like sometimes I'm like, I don't know, it depends on the day.
Yeah, fair.
Definitely chaotic. Like, I know enough about myself to know that.
Same.
Absolutely.
Same.
Chaotic for sure. Mm-hmm. And like most days I would say chaotic good. I feel like, you know, I want the world to be a better place. I'm not really mm-hmm. out there for myself. Like, that being said, the world is in such a weird place. It's made me a little bit more nihilistic. And mm-hmm. so I feel like I like bounce between chaotic neutral and chaotic good, mm-hmm. Which is, it is what it is. You know, we're all human. We're allowed some flexibility.
Right. I think I am exactly the same. To be honest.
I would have said the same.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends
it's hard
day.
Not to be. I think that the ADHD in us, it breeds the chaos, mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. chaoticness of it all.
Yeah.
I have a very important Canada question for you.
Okay.
So you're from Canada.
Yes.
Do you say toque or do you say beanie?
Hilarious. like
I need
both,
to know.
But okay. I definitely say toque. A lot.
Okay.
That being said, I travel to the U.S. fairly often, and I have a lot of U.S. friends, so I will definitely say beanie sometimes. But I'm gonna say like 70% of the time, pass me a toque. We have like cute like role play relay ones and stuff. I'll be like, mm-hmm. yeah, give me the role play relay toque, like mm-hmm. whatever it is, which I never thought was a weird word, but apparently that's such a foreign thing.
Yeah.
To people, like the one that got me the other week was that a lot of Americans don't know what a duotang is.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
That is-
okay. So a duotang is like in schools, you had like, it was like a folder with the three prongs in it, like three metal prongs, and you would put loose paper in mm-hmm. there mm-hmm. to like make yourself a binder or a journal. Mm-hmm. So a duotang was like the sleeve.
Okay.
That it came in.
I don't know what I would call that besides a folder. With yeah. some prongs inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was
the
difference.
I didn't know it had a name.
It's like, you know, you have a folder, uh-huh. which is where you tuck it in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
you have a duotang where you stick it in the holes through the metal things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard that word before in my life. Yeah. I have a lot of Canadian Twitch. My Twitch audience is pretty Canadian.
Oh, I love that.
And they sent me a beanie that says toque on it because I was like,
incredible.
What's a toque?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. and like, we get
that's a Lord of the Rings character.
Right? We also get in arguments about Zed.
Yeah.
Do you say Zed as well?
Yeah.
I have an embarrassing story that I will tell you. I was doing my first Canadian convention. It was Fan Expo Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I went by myself. I didn't have a helper or anything.
Oh, damn.
Nobody. One of my friends was getting married that weekend. So nobody could come with me.
Right.
And so I went by myself and I didn't have phone service out of the country. Didn't even think about that as a thing. And I was at my booth alone and someone came up and tried to buy prints. And I couldn't take their credit card because I didn't have service to do the tap. And he said very graciously, I'll turn on my hotspot.
Yeah,
you can connect to the Wi-Fi. The password is like 153A something something Z. And I had never heard anybody say that word before.
Ever
before. I didn't know it was a thing. So I kept typing what he was saying and then Z-E-D.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not working. Can you? No. And so we tried it like three more times and I turned the phone around and I gave it to him.
To do,
and he, the way that he looked so disappointed.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh honey.
That's actually incredible. I guess like I'm so used to it, but if you'd never heard that before, typing out Z-E-D would make absolute sense.
Right.
So I'm
thank you for that.
No,
thank you for your validation. I really appreciate it.
I'm like, I get it. We've all
embarrassing.
Done things where you don't know, whatever.
I had no idea. And even afterward, he typed it in for me and I still didn't know what I did wrong.
Until later.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And you're like, wait, that one guy trying to give me his password. And that's incredible.
Yeah.
You know what? It makes for a great story.
It does. Every now and then at like 4 a.m., I'll be like,
that guy probably thinks I'm an idiot. Like, damn.
Probably thinks a stupid American.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Every time he looks at the print.
Well, I definitely tried to do I did a stream where I tried to like fill in where all the states go.
Impossible.
I
can't do that.
I think I got maybe 11 of them, and I know that like some of them were dumb luck. I thought Philadelphia was a state, so that was definitely on there. I think I had like West and East Virginia, like because I was like, well, there's North and South Carolina.
Yeah, so it completely makes sense. Like 100% makes sense. I don't think that I'd be able to get 11, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm like, I know where Alaska is, Florida, California, Texas. Like, that's four right there. That's pretty easy. Mm-hmm.
Hawaii is kind of
easy. Yeah, Hawaii's there. And then somehow I think I got North and South Dakota right, which that was literally a fluke. Mm-hmm. Like, truly.
Love.
And then I think I got, oh my God, I don't even know. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, I even got, like, New York State wrong. It was bad.
Oh, no.
Cannot remember. Anyway, it's a stream. It exists on the internet somewhere, unfortunately.
I don't know many people who could do that, to be honest with you. I only know what New York looks like because that's where I was born. And that's where my parents are from.
Yeah.
But otherwise, all the little tiny states around New York could be anything.
Oh, my God.
Anything.
Yeah. I was looking at this and I was like, this is like the size of a city.
Yeah. Like, Rhode Island. Rhode Island's like the size of 1/300th of New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's, don't beat yourself up over
it,
that.
Yeah,
that's,
it was a time. I've forgiven myself and I've moved on, but it is humbling to be like, oh yeah, I really fucked that one up.
So all of the stuff that you were into while you did musical theater that you didn't have a ton of friends who liked the same things as you, I noticed you do a ton of Star Wars cosplays.
Yeah.
And you said that you really like Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. So were those like two huge influences huge. That you loved when you were a kid?
Huge. Hilariously enough, The Fellowship of the Ring came out when I was six. And I bullied my parents into taking me to go because I saw the commercial for it.
Oh,
my
really?
Parents were like, no, it's going to be really scary. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. That looks sick. Like, I literally made them take me to go see it in theaters, and it changed my life. Like, we do a yearly Lord of the Rings marathon in Toronto. And some people even like fly up for it. Like, it's like everyone piles in the living room and it's like 10 a.m. to like midnight, just all day Lord of the Rings.
Is it the extended editions?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's like an hour lunch break, an hour dinner break. And like, that's, yeah.
Do you serve Lord of the Rings themed food?
Sometimes. Okay. If like I have time to do something, or like I think last year Victoria made something, but I definitely will try if I can, because I also love baking and I don't get an opportunity to do it that often, so that's always fun. But yeah, Star Wars and Lord of the Rings were probably the two big Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and like musical theater, kind of the big nerd things in my life. But my parents were big Trekkies and big Star Wars fans. Mm. So I'm also also a Star Trek fan. Love Next Generation. But my dad had the VHSs for the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And like I would come home every day pretty much. There was a point in my life where I would put in Return of the Jedi and I loved it. It was my favorite movie. I loved everything about it. I love the Ewoks. I'm a huge Ewok defender. I will fight you in the comments. I don't care. I love those little guys so freaking much.
I like them too.
Yeah.
I'm on your side.
I think they're great. I think it's just so kind of like beautiful that the fate of the galaxy is decided by these almost primitive. Obviously, they have language and stuff, but they're, you know, this very not far advanced society. They don't even understand what's going on out there. They're just trying to do good by the people around them, and they save the fucking day.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's beautiful.
I agree. I think there's just some haters out there who hating things.
Yeah.
I'm curious about your take on this. So I grew up with not nerdy parents. They didn't know anything about Star Wars, and I wasn't introduced to Star Wars for a very, very long time, not until I was out of college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
I was a whole ass adult. And it became, especially when I started doing cosplay, but I was doing mostly video game stuff. So that's like my nerd vertical, if you will. Yeah. I like started by playing Halo in the living room with brother, and the neighborhood would come over and we would do these like tournaments, like Halo tournaments.
That's
and stuff.
So fun. Oh my God.
Yeah. So that was kind of my area of nerd. But I didn't know anything about Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or anything because I just wasn't ever shown.
Yeah.
And it became like a point of contention where people would be like, Danielle, you have to watch it.
Yeah.
And I just never got around to it. And then finally one day I had some friends come over and sit me down and make me watch Star Wars. But I want to know your opinion on this.
Great.
The person who brought the movies over and wanted me to watch them decided that the best way for me to be introduced to the movies would be in chronological order, not the way that they came out,
like starting with The Phantom Menace,
but starting with 1, 2, 3, 4 5, 6. So that's how I started. That's how I watched the movies.
Wow.
Since then I've said that out loud on stream and other places, and I don't think one other person has been like, yeah, solid plan. So what do you think about
that? I'm going to say no. That's, yeah. If I were to show somebody a Star Wars,
Star Wars,
it would not be The Phantom Menace, which I love. Don't get me wrong. I have a lot of love for those movies. But I think that the vibe is very different than mm-hmm. A New Hope. Like, and I think that I think the original trilogy is also not 100% perfect, but like, damn, it's pretty great. Like, and episodes 1, 2, and 3 have a lot more issues with them. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think that they are not quite as good of movies. Mm-hmm. So that would be like saying like, we're gonna watch these movies and I'm gonna show you the one that's kind of like mediocre first. Like, why not start with 4? Like, 4 mm-hmm. is a banger. New Hope is great. Mm-hmm. I would not recommend that watching order personally.
Okay.
But
okay. I'll put your tally mark on the other side.
Did you enjoy it?
Like, so I think it's probably, so I did enjoy it, but I obviously don't share the same childhood nostalgia that other people do. I think that's really important for Star Wars, but I don't think that I kind of understood why everybody loved it as much as they did.
Like the first 3 or like all of them?
The 1, 2, and 3 being shown it like that, I think took away from, I don't know, the same joy of it all, maybe.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I do think that 1, 2, and 3 are a product of their time, and there are things to love about them for sure. Mm-hmm. But 4, 5, and 6 are just more timeless, right. I think.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I think because we didn't get through all 6 in one night. I think we got through, we did 1 and 2, mm-hmm. and I think.
Oh,
from there we like sort of tried to fit in the rest as we lived our lives.
Okay.
And I was like, this is fine.
Yeah. I mean, I do love Attack of the Clones, mostly because I didn't know it at the time. But God, I am a bisexual for Natalie Portman. And like her fighting with the tiger thing in the pits of... mm-hmm. Geonosis, I think it is, did things to me, which, you know, at the time I had no idea, but now looking back, I'm like, oh wow, I really should have figured that out sooner. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things about the 1, 2, and 3 that we do love for sure. Mm-hmm. But if someone was like, hey, I'd never seen Star Wars, I would give them A New Hope. Like I would give them A New Hope, or mm-hmm. I would give them Rogue One if mm-hmm. they're a kind of person who maybe doesn't love older style stuff visually. Mm-hmm. Like if the graphics are gonna be maybe not to their liking, I might mm-hmm. be like, okay, like Rogue One is also a solid standalone movie. The context of episode 4, 5, and 6 for Rogue One, I think, does make Rogue One a better movie, but I think it stands on its own mm-hmm. for sure.
I did love Rogue One.
It's great.
Now I've seen them all.
Yeah.
And I do like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I loved Rogue One. But yeah, it was a rough start, I would say.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Who is this friend? I need to...
you know, we haven't talked in a while.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah. gotta cut him out.
Nah, that's not how we watch Star Wars. Although, if already having seen it, I have talked about doing a marathon of 1 through 6, mm-hmm. like for funsies at the house, but mm-hmm. but only for people who have already seen them. We know what's coming.
I forgot to add this while we were talking about the Canada.
Oh yeah,
we were on the topic of Canada, but I saw that you have written in your profile description in many social media accounts that maple syrup belongs on bacon.
Yes.
I happen to very much agree with that statement, but was
this
it
why we're friends.
Controversial?
Kind of. I mean, I made it into more of a thing than it was. Uh-huh. I don't even remember exactly why I put it there, mm-hmm. but I think I was streaming and I told my chat that maple syrup is the ultimate condiment, mm. right? Like, you can put maple syrup on almost anything. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put ketchup on almost anything. I wouldn't put mustard on almost anything. But maple syrup...
You do have a point, actually.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Real maple syrup goes with, like, most things.
Real maple syrup.
Real maple syrup. That is a very important distinction. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that table crap. I hate that shit. But yeah, I think I like put it in my bio because maple syrup and bacon is one of my favorite snacks. And I was arguing with my chat. I was like, no, maple syrup is the ultimate condiment. It can go with almost anything, like more so than any other condiment for me personally. And so I made it my personality. And it's so funny that you bring that up, because I've had several people like come up to me at cons and be like, you're the maple syrup belongs on bacon girl. And I'm like, what?
Like branding.
Yeah, that is my brand now, apparently. And it is a hill I will gladly die on. Uh-huh. So I'm not mad at it, but I just didn't. Like, I never thought that would be what stuck in people's heads about me. But
long red hair, maple syrup on bacon.
Yeah.
It actually is incredible. I agree with you. I always dip whenever I have bacon.
So good.
Yeah, it is.
I, like, will get this, like, turkey bacon from Costco recently because I've been trying to, like, put on muscle, which has been a process. So, you know, protein and all that jazz. So I've been trying to like make myself this turkey bacon in the morning, and it's not the same if I
you
don't have,
to dip it. Yeah,
it's totally so good.
Agree with you. Totally
and
agree with you.
When I bake, if I can substitute like sugar for maple syrup, I will. I think the flavor's better, and it's, you know, it's still sugar, but it's at least like kind of natural sugar. Like
right. Yeah, I actually I'm a condiment girly. I put. Like, I have to dip everything in something.
Yeah.
And I think you're right.
There you go. See? Danielle's the expert.
I'm upvoting.
Upvoting maple syrup as
an A-tier.
A-tier condiment. Like, it is. And I, again, will fight you in the comments. I will defend maple syrup until the day I die.
Oh, my God. Good. So, you obviously do a lot. You have a ton of different YouTube channels.
Yeah.
You do cosplay. You're in shows. You're acting. Is there a social media right now that you prefer, that you're focusing on more than others?
I am currently trying to hit 100,000 on Instagram. I'm like, I'm not the best with social media, but it is a huge part of this job. And so I'm really, really trying to push for like 100,000 on there would be like a really big, huge, cool number for me. And I think it is probably where I share the most often. But I also like somehow, I couldn't even tell you how, my free OnlyFans page hit 100,000.
Wow.
So that is like, other than TikTok, which I don't use that much anymore, like that page is my biggest page, which is awesome. And, you know, I love it over there, and I try and be as interactive as I can. Instagram, I can't really interact as much because like the message requests and stuff are a nightmare.
I don't really
venture in there. I'm so sorry if you want to try and get a hold of me. Instagram is not the way to do it, unless I already follow you, because then it will go straight into my inbox. But yeah, I've been really hoping to get my Instagram to 100,000. That would be a really cool goal.
Yeah. I believe that you can do it.
Thank you.
This is the year.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Have you ever used OnlyFans TV?
Yeah, actually. I put some of my like hauls and fashion content over there.
I was going to say that you should if you haven't.
Yeah, no. It's great. And I think that's how the free page got to 100,000 is usually if is people would say that they came in from OFTV because that's what it's linked to. It's great, actually. I really like the platform, and I like that they try and keep the quality of stuff super high.
Yeah. I agree. We talked about this a little bit before we started, but the other thing that I had on here was I was going to ask you about your latex costumes, because I wore latex one time, actually twice, and one time I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know you were supposed to lube yourself.
Yeah.
And I instead baby powdered myself. I was told this by someone, I don't remember who, but somebody told me that I had to like layer myself in a layer of baby powder and then put the thing on. And all that did was really just like
get it dusty.
Yes. And make me sweat way more because I was just like covered in baby powder.
Yeah.
But the other time that I tried to wear it, I had this Zero Suit Samus suit.
Hell yeah.
And I was at a one-day show in Ocala, Florida, which is where I grew up. So I was seeing people I hadn't seen since like high school.
Oh,
I had this latex costume on. Yeah. In this the lobby of a hotel. And I sat down to grab a print from under the table and watched as the suit slowly started to rip. Down one leg, down the other leg, looked at my arm. It was like, it was disintegrating before my eyes.
Oh my God.
And I was wondering if there was a way to put on latex and how to do that.
I mean, wow. Okay, I've never had latex just like disintegrate on me like that. That's...
Really?
No, yeah, that's wild.
I was wondering if it was user error. Like, I need somebody to tell me if it was me or if it was the latex.
No, what did you do? Was this the one where you baby powdered yourself?
No.
I don't know. What did you do?
I think I lubed up.
Was it silicone lube or was it water-based lube?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Now, I don't know if it would disintegrate it, but you're not supposed to use water-based lubricant with latex. You want silicone. And the only reason I know all of this stuff is because Holly Wolf and some other friends, Poison and Paul back in Toronto, they're the experts. But the first time I wore latex, I borrowed Holly's Rogue suit.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, yeah, you can borrow this, whatever. I'm not wearing it. And I was like, you sure? Yeah, whatever. Go, just whatever. Just, you know, take care of it. I was like, okay.
Holly's so funny. She did that to me once with a dress. We were in Vegas and I saw her in the hallway and she was like, I brought a dress and I don't want it. Do you want it?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sure.
Sure.
And I still have it and I wear it sometimes.
Like, there you go.
Holly just gave, it was just so random too. It was so funny.
She's delightful. I adore her. She's so caring in that way of like, you need something? Yeah, I got you. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's no skin off my back. Like, like I said, we hosted a whole week of people in her like new house for Roleplay Relay, like the original one. So I owe so much to Holly, but yeah, she's the one who kind of gave me my very first rundown of latex of no water-based lubricant. You want to make sure you're using silicone-based, lube yourself up, put it on, and then when you're done with it, you kind of like wash it off really gently, like water with like some soap or whatever you need to do, and then you baby powder it to store it to keep it from like sticking to itself, because the material is, it's made out of like the sap of trees. Like it's like a natural, they're like rubber trees, which is like so crazy that that's a thing to me. But I have no idea what would make it disintegrate.
Okay.
Maybe it's the lube. I don't know. Cause I've never used water-based lube with it.
I'm telling you all of my embarrassing stories that keep me up at night.
You're
really pulling them out of me.
What can I say? I'm like, tell me your deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, my Zed, my your latex Zed. Suit exploding in front of my high school cohort.
I'm so curious. I'm literally gonna, like, when we're done, I'm gonna like text Paul, because Paul would know, because he's been like in like, he's shot latex stuff for like decades. Like, he's very familiar with it, and he would know if I was like, hey, like, what makes latex disintegrate? Like, he might be able to give me an answer for that, because I have no idea. But
yeah,
I do love latex.
I haven't worn it since, to be honest, but
I'm
scared. I want to know what I did wrong. That's why I asked.
Right.
You know, like, if you were like, oh yeah, it's definitely this, then I'd be like, okay,
no,
I can get a new one.
Right. Yeah.
Without fear.
Well, and that stuff is expensive. So if it disintegrates on you, it's like, that's kind of a waste.
Right.
Yeah. That's a lot.
And I remember the company, I don't remember what the company was now. It was just a really long time ago, but I contacted them and asked like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And they were like, well, if you don't know how to use latex, I didn't explain it to me at all. It just was yeah, you did that. And I was like,
okay, but what?
I don't know.
What did that though?
Uh-huh. Like, I never found out.
I mean, I know that like if you catch, like, and you get any kind of like tears and stuff in latex, it can spread really quick. Mm-hmm. But you would have had to like puncture it. Like you would have had to rip it for it to just mm-hmm. to start like falling open like
right,
that.
Right, right, right. So, and it was like every limb yeah. at the same time. So it was something so, that happened. I just don't know what.
That's so weird. It's like Freerin's potion. Just like make the clothes disappear and it just melts off.
Like, suddenly. I had to like, luckily I was staying in the same hotel that the convention was in. So mm-hmm. I could just go upstairs.
Thank God
but
for
I
that.
Was like,
you're like, I'm in the about to be
elevator,
naked.
Like, yeah. Photo.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Hey, things happen, you know?
Right. That's the beauty of cosplay.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff happens and you just gotta hot glue it back together.
Yeah, literally, yes.
Maybe not latex, but you know.
Right. I carry in my little fix pouch to cons, there's always super glue. And there's yeah. always zip ties. Have you ever used zip ties to repair a costume
no.
before? It works so well on foam. Just stab a hole in that bad boy and...
Oh, I get, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm going to have to put that in my kit because that would be... I can see how that would be useful.
It is super useful.
Oh, man. I this past Dragon Con, I worked my ass off to build my Keyleth cosplay, the mm-hmm. season 2 version, and the crown broke on the drive there, like right at the point in the front.
Oh, no.
And I could not get it to glue back together. I tried hot glue, I tried super glue, damn. I tried like literally everything, and it was just PLA, like it was just a print.
I was gonna ask what it was made out of.
Yeah,
it was just PLA.
Yeah, it was just a print, and it would not. I could not get anything to hold even like a little bit. Like it would
so
not
bizarre.
Stick. And so, I literally put on the cosplay. I ran to like the Critical Role like group photo shoot and like held it together and then like went and changed.
Oh no!
It was so sad. I know.
Damn.
Yeah.
Have you ever used accelerant super glue accelerant spray?
No.
That's my favorite thing. It's so you take super glue
yeah.
and you use it like normal, but if yeah. you spray it with the accelerant, it there it is.
Oh my God, bless you. Okay.
yeah. Stella to the rescue.
Thank you, Stella.
The accelerant, so you spray it and what it does is it sets it super, super fast, like within seconds. It heats it up really, really quickly.
Okay.
So that it fuses the two things together.
Huh.
And that's how I repair 3D prints because yeah. the PLA gets moldable when it's hot. So it like melts into itself
oh,
for the future.
Good to know. Okay. I'm going to put that in my bag because I was devastated. I worked so hard on this thing and it was like, Keyleth is a special character to me.
Yeah.
And I had brought a hot glue gun, which didn't work. And then my husband, bless him, went to try and find a cosplay medic. Mm-hmm. And we tried super glue. Mm-hmm. And it just, I don't know, it just wouldn't, I just don't know if it was not enough. But it wouldn't even, it kind of got a little bit tacky. And that was about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Maybe it was old? I don't know.
It could be.
Could have been old.
100%. But yeah, it's fine. Redid the crown and now I have like great photos of the cosplay and everything, but it was like my first like full leather mm-hmm. cosplay thing. I was like so stoked. I was like, oh my God, there are gonna be so many critters here who's gonna love this. And mm-hmm. I walked down for the photos and then I left. I was like, I can't.
That's so heartbreaking. I'm so sorry.
We've all been there.
Yeah, that's yeah. What cosplay definitely will give you is the highest highs and also the lowest lows.
Absolutely.
That happens. That has to happen to everyone at least once in their life where mm-hmm. they're at the finish line and something just happens.
Just disaster.
Right at the very end when you're almost done.
Yeah.
I literally just talked to Stella about this when I had Stella here before because she had just done the Baby No Money and Will Neff Javik costumes.
Yeah. Oh my God, I saw.
And we obviously share a warehouse.
Yeah.
And so... she was doing the hammer, putting the hammer together at the last minute, mm-hmm. the Jace hammer.
Yeah.
And it was just putting the I don't know what it's called.
Like the rod together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Putting like the top of the hammer to the bottom of the hammer.
Okay, to the handle. Yeah.
Handle. That's the word I was looking for.
Got you.
I couldn't find it. It's like searching my brain. The handle into the hammer, and she put super glue on there, and it just stuck right as she put it in. It stuck it, and it wouldn't go in.
Like it got stuck halfway
through. It got stuck halfway through. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Terrifying. Yeah.
That's one of those things. It's like, I don't know how you, like, that's just bad luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you said like super glue, sometimes it doesn't set for a really long time.
Yeah.
And then other times it's like
immediate.
Right now we are gluing everything together.
Like we're yeah. rushing.
Oh, you put it on? You want it glued right now?
Right now,
right now.
That's so funny. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like 50% of being a cosplayer is just pivoting and making shit up when it all goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Like you're like, Matt, well, that didn't work. I'm gonna try something else.
Yeah, exactly. It's rough out here.
It is.
And I do everything last minute. It seems a lot of us be doing everything. The last
little bit less. I would like to do last minute, but it's just there's so many things going on.
Same. And I've been saying that for many, many years, which leads me to believe that maybe that will never happen for me.
There's always gonna be a last minute girly.
Yes, but that's okay.
We still love you for it.
Thanks. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you coming and hanging out with me. You said that your main platform right now is Instagram, but you're on pretty much everything. So
yeah, pretty much everything.
Where can everybody find you on the internet, and what do you have going on?
Yeah, so at Clara's Polaris is all of my stuff, like the cosplay stuff, the fashion stuff. That's where you can find my OnlyFans stuff. And then I also have the Nerdy Nightly, which is like reactions, the Nerdy Wordy Book Club, and then the Roleplay Relay is the TTRPGs. But yeah, in terms of stuff that's coming up, mostly just the charity event for Darrington Press, which is going to be really, really cool. I'm so excited about that. And I don't know when this is dropping, but I will be at Star Wars Celebration in Japan in April. So
cool. Yeah, you're going to be there. Many exciting things happening.
Yeah, I know. I'm really, really, really excited about it. I've never been to Japan. This is a huge first for me. I'm going for like a month. Like, I'm like going hard. So
yeah, that's super fun, because every time I've gone to Japan, I've always wanted to stay longer.
Yeah.
Like, you get your fill that way.
And we want to just do everything. We want to like bop around and see more than just Tokyo. So I'm so excited. Yeah.
You have to play one crane game for me.
Okay, I'll do it for you.
That's what I love about Japan. Crane games
I'll
everywhere.
I'll just like send you a video. I'll be like, this one's for you.
Yes. Yay. Well, speaking of OnlyFans, when did you start doing OnlyFans stuff?